As we continue the sermon series from John's Gospel, we come to chapter 14, verse 27, and here's what Jesus said to his disciples. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Tell you what, that's God's word for us. Let's say it together. Should be on the screen here. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, I've entitled the sermon simply this, Peace from the Lord. And the things I want to highlight this morning are quite basic, and yet I believe they are very significant, and we need to lay hold on these and appropriate them to our lives. God wants us to have an inner peace. Inner peace comes from the Lord, and to have an inner peace, we need to daily seek Him, trust Him, look to Him. So let's begin with that first point, that God wants us to have an inner peace. Did you notice what Jesus said? He said, as he was talking to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, I remember a time in my life when I was lacking an inner peace. I was in my late teens, perhaps approaching my early 20s, and going through a time of searching. And I remember times when I would lay awake in bed at night wondering, you know, what would happen to me if I would die? And in my time of searching, I came across a passage of Scripture that really grabbed my attention. It was Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think of you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. And I'm so thankful this morning for that word from the Lord and for the Spirit's working and He drawing myself unto Him and opening my eyes and my heart and my mind to recognize and to understand what it was that was lacking, and that I was able to come to Him by faith through Jesus Christ. Do you have an inner quietness? Is your heart at rest? The Bible, in speaking to its address to the Lord, says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It's from Isaiah 26, verse 3. I don't know if you ever knew this. Billy Graham, when he was 15 years old, didn't want to see the traveling evangelist that was having services. Billy, he didn't care too much for preachers. It's sort of funny, isn't it, to think about that. He was more into sports and athletes. He still had treasured the memory of shaking hands with Babe Ruth. In fact, he hadn't washed his hands for a number of days after that particular encounter. He said, I did not want anything to do with anyone called an evangelist. And especially one like Mordecai Ham. He seemed to ignite controversy wherever he went. And Ham's style was not only to call out sin, but to call out sinners that were out in the audience and in the community. And Billy thought it just sounded like a religious circus. But about a month into the 11-week revival that was taking place in his hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina, the teenager found himself in the back of the audience listening to the evangelist. Mordecai Ham opened his Bible and spoke loudly and directly from the text. Billy says, I have no recollection of what he preached on, but I was spellbound. He was writing about this in his autobiography, and he said in some indefinable way, he was getting through to me. And that night, Billy was deep in thought, and he stretched out on his bed, and he stared at the moon for a long time. And as he attended services night after night, Billy was slowly coming to terms with the fact that he didn't know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and that he couldn't depend on his parents' faith or his church membership for salvation. He said, "Our family Bible reading, praying, psalm singing, and church going, all these had left me restless and resentful. I even tried to get out of all those activities as much as I could. And in a word, I was spiritually dead." And then one night, it was near his 16th birthday, Billy couldn't wait any longer. When Ham gave the invitation, he joined a group of others, got out of his seat, walked to the front to pray for forgiveness of sins. And it said that the world looked different the next morning when Billy got up to milk the cows and to eat breakfast and to catch the school bus. And you know what? The world does look different when we have an inner peace. When it is well with our soul. According to Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. But according to the scripture that we're looking at this morning, God desires something quite different for his people. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So God wants you and I to have and to experience peace, to have an inner peace. He wants us to be at rest within our soul. He wants us to have quietness of heart. And having said that, let's move on to the second point that emerges from our text. We need to realize that inner peace comes from the Lord. What is it that Jesus said? He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." The fact of the matter is that many people look in all the wrong places. They think that their surroundings is where it's at, and so they want to move to a place that reminds them of a picture postcard from the 1950s. But that doesn't do the trick. Others think that financial security will give them peace of mind, and then there are downturns. Now, I have to admit, I didn't like what I saw when I opened the Mennonite Retirement Trust that you folks are so gracious to fund. When I opened up that quarterly statement the other week, and I saw that in the past several months, the MRT lost over $13,000 of its value. But you know, that's not where it's at either. Inner peace is not contingent upon outward circumstances, because inner peace comes from the Lord. And it becomes possible as a person obtains peace with God. As it's put in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And this is further spoken of in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me just turn this to this, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace." Get that? "He himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. Thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For by through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." So how about it? Have you obtained peace with God in that you repented of your sin and trusted Christ to be your Savior? If not, that's the starting point. And I say the starting point because seeking Christ to obtain forgiveness of sin is the beginning of what is intended to be a lifelong and an ongoing relationship with Christ. It's in this relationship that we experience the Lord blessing us with His peace. In John chapter 16, Jesus was talking to His disciples about experiencing His peace in the midst of the challenges of life. And here's what He said in verse 33. "These things I've spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You know, many years Diane and I went through some things that caused major upheaval, and it was all part of this process and leading us to a transition time and a time of moving and all of that. I remember saying at one point, "Boy, we should be all uptight about this. What's wrong? We're not." No, it's what's right, you know. At that point, the Lord had wonderfully blessed us with His peace. So it's such a precious thing. But inner peace comes from the Lord. It's not something that we can contrive on our own. And we're reminded again in Galatians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul was talking to the believers at Galatia and noting that it's a matter of the fruit of the Spirit. Verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And then he went on saying that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So, we have to recognize that it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that we can get at some farm market or produce farm or orchard. I mean, Smucker's doesn't manufacture a peach preserves, yes, but not peace preserves. Inner peace is a spiritual commodity. It's only produced by the Holy Spirit, the one whom Jesus said would come and live among and within His followers. Are you filled with the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit? Are you welcoming the Holy Spirit to work in and through you? You know, God wants us to have an inner peace. And this inner peace comes from the Lord. And that leads us to the third point. To have an inner peace, we need to seek the Lord in daily life. And I'd like you to listen carefully to what the believers at Philippi were told. I'm turning now to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to God. Or with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, what was pressing in upon you this past week? You know, at the time, it's been a week and a half ago now that I was first pondering this particular passage at length, and schools were having their delays due to the possibilities of black ice, and there was this major snowstorm that was coming our way, and forecasters were telling us to be prepared in case there was a power outage and all of these things. And yeah, even the weather can raise our anxiety level, especially when we have to be walking or driving or doing something on slippery surfaces, and there's the concerns that come along with, you know, all of these things. So. Now, in the scripture I just read, the Apostle Paul talked about the peace of God guarding a person's heart and mind. And it's an interesting promise in that it uses the metaphor of a guard or a sentry standing watch. Maxie Dunham, in his commentary on this passage, suggests that God's peace is an inward sentinel protecting us, keeping watch that we not be invaded by all the alien forces that would disrupt and ravage our minds and hearts, making us important by crushing us with anxiety. So, how can we experience then this inner peace? This peace that surpasses all understanding, as it's described here. Well, it comes about as we seek the Lord. It comes about when we approach things prayerfully. Did you notice? Paul said that we're to rejoice in the Lord always. And we are to, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto God. Now, the Message paraphrases our text like this. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. And it really is a wonderful thing, is it not? To know the Lord and to experience Him at work. You know, Joseph Scriven apparently experienced this firsthand. Why do I say that? Because of the poem that he wrote. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And then he went on in the second stanza to say, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes we're so preoccupied with the externals that we're failing to pay attention to the internals. Right after talking about the peace of God guarding our hearts and minds, Paul said this in verses 8 and 9 there in this Philippians passage. He said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So, what are you and I thinking about much of the time? Is it all of the negative stuff that is on the evening news? Is it lyrics from songs that promote a lifestyle that is really not in tune with Christian values? Is it television programs or movies that are not edifying? You know, the kind of input we have and the kind of things we ponder have an effect on our inner state of being. Philippians 4:8 calls us to meditate. That's to ruminate. It's sort of the like a cow chewing the cud kind of thing. to meditate, ruminate on that which is good, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy. It's those things Paul was saying we ought to be reflecting on, thinking about. Now, what happens when we keep our eyes on the Lord, rejoicing Him, seeking Him, thanking Him, reflecting on Him? Well, we are mindful more and more of His presence with us. As Paul put it in verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You think about it. Through Jesus Christ, we can have peace with God. And then we can experience the peace of God. And we can be assured that the God of peace is with us. Don't you agree that that's one of the most precious things that you and I can experience? Peace from the Lord. Gracious God, we're so thankful to know You. We're so thankful to be blessed with Your Word and Your Spirit and Your presence. Now, brothers and sisters, as you think about your own situation, is there something that you need to just bring before the Lord now in thanksgiving, making your petition known to Him? Why don't you do so? Lord, we pray that in the quietness of these moments that You speak peace to our hearts. We pray also this morning that our shut-ins and those that are homebound right now and in hospital rooms right now would experience this very precious spiritual reality as well. Please speak peace to their hearts and their families. Thank You, Lord, for what You have done and how You will continue to bless us with Your presence. Through Jesus Christ, amen.